It's good to see everyone this morning. We're glad to have everyone here. We have a number of visitors, as we typically do, but I think we have maybe even a few more than what we normally have. And we're glad to have you with us. We want you to feel right at home. And we certainly want to welcome everyone. You know, when you look at the New Testament, you read about the church at Philippi, the church at Corinth, the church at Ephesus. You read about the churches of Galatia, the seven churches of Asia. All these local congregations. And all of that is part of God's plan. That's why you read about these churches throughout the pages of the New Testament. Because God's wisdom was such that He knew that on our own, it would be so much more difficult for us to serve God and to grow as a Christian. We need the fellowship of other Christians to encourage us to do what is right, to join us in being a disciple and studying God's Word and growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. We need to have that kind of group that we can be a part of. And God knew all of that. And that's why a local congregation with overseers and with servants of that congregation, that's why God designed all of that. And so that's what we are here at Valrico. We refer to ourselves as the Valrico Church of Christ. And we, from time to time, I think, need to reflect upon the past year. I think now as we begin a new year, it's a good time for us to look back at 2010. And look at the work that we've done and the things that God has blessed us with, and maybe some things that we have struggled with. And see if we can't maybe help ourselves look ahead toward 2011 and make it a more glorious year for us, a more productive year, a better year for us in every way. And ultimately with the goal that God would be glorified. So I want to, and I've done this before, I've kind of begun a pattern now of doing this at the beginning of each new year. I like to depart from maybe the normal kind of sermon that we present here from this pulpit, but instead take a few moments to reflect with you upon the past year here in 2010. And I want to first of all look at some things regarding our work as a local congregation. Certainly one thing you see that God wanted Christians to be doing was to evangelize and spread the gospel to others, and certainly that's what we need to be doing as a local congregation. And we have emphasized this. In fact, last year we emphasized this as one of our goals, to try to focus more upon evangelism and be more evangelistic. And we have had a number of baptisms as a result this year. Unless my counting is off, I count five people that members here in our congregation have brought to the Lord and that we have baptized here. And I think that is good. I think that is not as high a number as what we would like to see and what we can do, especially with the numbers of people that we have here. I want to talk with you more about that more toward the end of the lesson. But also what we've seen in our work here in 2010 has been a number of restorations. And I'm not referring by that term, as maybe sometimes people do, to somebody who comes forward and maybe asks for the prayers of the congregation or acknowledges some a public sin. I'm really talking here, when I use that terminology, about what that word really signifies, the idea of someone who has not been right with the Lord and very definitely not been right with the Lord and has come back and has made themselves right with God. And all of us have sins that we need to confess, and sometimes those sins are of a public nature, but sometimes what we see is maybe someone who has departed from the Lord and has certainly not been a Christian, and yet coming back, and like the prodigal son, recognizing the error of his or her ways. We've had several of those kinds of scenarios where people who have not been living as a Christian saw by the grace of God the error of their ways, and they, by the mercy of God, were brought back, and they have restored their lives and are now trying to do what is right. And I commend those people and commend them for the courage that that takes to do that kind of thing and to acknowledge that one has been living so wrong and going so much in the wrong direction and then turning around and now doing what is right. So we in 2010 have had several people who have exemplified that scenario. We've had several gospel meetings. We certainly have our one fall meeting each year. We this year had a meeting with Tony Mock, and I think it was from the reaction that people gave to us as elders, I think it was one of the best meetings that we've had, most well-received meetings that we've had in many years. And I did think Brother Mock did a wonderful job. And so that was certainly very, very good. In addition, of course, to that kind of formal gospel meeting, quote, we had the Ladies' Day that was very good. Of course, we've had that for a number of years, and that went very, very well. We also had our Vacation Bible School, which again, so much effort goes into that kind of thing, and so many of you put in so much effort to that, and I think that was once again very, very good and very successful. So a lot of good things along that line. We've also had some special classes in 2010 that we've tried to have. We've had, as we so commonly have done, try to take a weeknight and have some special class to devote to some kind of issue or topic. And we had a special class for married couples, especially trying to deal with some marital issues and how couples can use God's word and use some principles of wisdom to deal with marital issues and to grow closer as a husband and wife. And I think we had a good class with that. It was well attended by people. We actually want, I'll just say now, sort of parenthetically, that what we want to do here, coming up now in the spring of 2011, is have another class like that, not for not on marriage, but instead for those who are parents of teenagers, or those who are parents of kids who are going to be teenagers, maybe not yet teens. But that is a class, we've had some classes in past years on parenting, and especially focus more upon young, new parents. But what we want to do is to have a class that would be on parenting, but would address the particular issues in regard to raising teenage children. And so we'll give you some more information about that and talk about some specific dates for that. But we're talking about, say, you know, like a weekly, like Monday night class, something like that, maybe for about 3 or 4 weeks. And so that's something that we planned for 2011. But we've had some special classes like that. I had in 2010, a small private class with a handful of men on Sundays and Wednesdays. We took one quarter to do that, where we had a more advanced Bible study. And so we tried to do some special things like that in this past year. And then, of course, we had the special class this last quarter for the ladies and Martha and Irma teaching that and making all the husbands who had to take over the classes pull their hair out, but yet really benefited from all of that. And so we've tried to do some very special things along that line in this past year, and I think that is good. We also, in 2010, as elders, tried to focus in on some of the needs of our teenagers. And those classes in the middle school and high school range, where maybe in the past we felt like we hadn't done as well and hadn't focused as much in our curriculum and in our teachers, and really trying to hit the needs of those young people. And so we tried to really develop that and to give some special attention to that. And I think that was good. I think from all the reports that there are some further things that we can do, that we can continue. And it may be that we have lost a little bit of our focus on that, and I hope we can regain that. But at least that's something that we have tried to do in 2010. We continued in 2010, the spring of 2010, with a preacher training program that we had recently begun. And Kevin Harrington, I think, just did a wonderful job with that. And I'll just say this parenthetically, that Kevin is right now starting in a full-time work, not totally on his own, but in tandem with Roger Schaus, older preacher, my age, very outstanding preacher, know him very well, up in Indiana. And it's Kevin's first full-time work. He's very excited about that. And so I wanted to just announce that to you. Let me just say this. We, so far this year, do not have a young man that we're going to use in a similar role in that preacher training. There was an individual that I'd hoped that we were going to be able to use for that, and kind of at the last minute, that fell through. So maybe sometime in the future we can use him in that capacity, but as of right now, that kind of fell through. So that's kind of the reason why right now, for 2011, we don't have a preacher in a training kind of program. We built a new classroom, and of course the ladies used that and sort of christened that, and I think that was good, and that will really help us. We, of course, are going to be using that as the Bible lab room, and then remodel that current large room back there into a couple of classrooms. So we're trying to do some new things there, and all that got started in 2010. We tried in 2010 to address the times of our service. I had to mention this. I don't know why, but I just want to mention this, just because it was the great experiment. The great Vireco experiment. We tried to change our service times and see if maybe there was a better time for Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. We tried 9 o'clock Sunday morning. We tried 5 o'clock Sunday night, 5:30 Sunday night, 7 o'clock Wednesday night. I think we tried Thursday afternoon at 3:22 in the afternoon. Well, maybe not, but I mean, it seems like we did. We tried everything. And came back to where we originally had always been at our original times. Not that everybody liked that, but at least it seemed like that, okay, you can't please everybody, and that maybe was just the best time. But we tried it. We experimented. So, you know, don't anybody accuse us of just being set in our ways and unwilling to see if there might be a more expedient way of doing something. Anyway, wanted to just mention that. We also, in 2010, developed a new website. And really give a lot of credit to Bill Warren and Dwayne helped a lot with this, and they are continuing to help a lot with this. And we have developed now a website, and we're still trying to tweak it and make it better. But it is a website that is much more user-friendly. And if you have not been going on the website and maybe taking advantage of some of the things on that website, I would encourage you to do that. It is much more user-friendly now. I think we can still do some things to tweak that further, but it is a website that provides all of the lessons, all the sermons, all the classes here in the auditorium are available. Accessing those is a lot easier now. Series of lessons, accessing those is a lot easier now. And that is really a great tool. Also, as part of all of that new website, and with the technology, and I have to give Kyle Jackson a lot of credit for this, we have now a camera so that we have a live feed of our worship services, and that is accessible to anybody in the world who knows our site and password to be able to access that. And it has been really a blessing for a lot of people who, even some of our people in the military, who have been overseas and they don't have access to a local congregation. And I know, for instance, Mike Stinson has been taking advantage of that. Ed, when he was in the hospital, took advantage of that. And that, Ed says, was just a real blessing to him to be able to, even though not here bodily, but yet be here in spirit, in even a way more than what Paul meant when he used that expression. And I think all that is just really, really good. In fact, Mike Stinson may be listening now. Mike, if you are, we wish you all the best and God's blessing upon you. So those are some things that relate to our work. I'm not trying to mention everything, obviously, but at least some things regarding our work that I think is good for us to reflect on. I want to talk with you about some of our blessings, and we really have been blessed in so many, many ways. We've had a couple of weddings here, Dustin and Lindsay, and Aaron and Beth, and that's just great. And, you know, you have weddings and you got babies, and we've just had babies and babies and babies and babies and babies. And I'm going to have to preach a little bit more on that to try to stop that. But, no, I think that's just great. And so that really has just been a marvelous blessing. And I want to just take a moment to commend all of the young parents. Those of us who are old and crusty, I know we forget things, but let me tell you what. We don't forget what it was like to be a new parent and little kids, and you're trying to deal with kids and keep them quiet in church, and how do you handle this, and when do you get up and when do you not, and all this stuff. And it's tough, and you can't hear lessons because your kid is doing this and that, and it is a struggle. And we, of course, we announce all the time about, you know, using the training room and all of that, and we hope that the people do, and they have been. But I tell you what, I just want to commend all of the young parents, because it is tough for you. It is, and it's a new experience, but it's a great experience, and so that is a true blessing from God. Health that God has blessed our members with, especially some members who've had some very severe health problems. And, of course, certain ones especially come to mind. We thank God for His hand of healing at this time for Ed Brown and Bob Chapman, especially those come to our mind. And we understand that, okay, this doesn't mean that their health issues are over and done with. And they, of course, understand that. But God has absolutely answered prayer and blessed them. And we're just so grateful to Him for that. And that is such a blessing. And of course, there are others who have chronic health issues that God's hand of blessing has been upon. And I think of Helen Kakulis and Andre Cannon and some of the good reports that she has had. Yvonne Wood and her success here and going through some difficult times. Jack Wimberly, and what a wonderful attitude that he has throughout all of his struggles. Jerry Finley, good reports that he received. Barbara Fears, back with us here in 2010. A lot of severe health issues that she's been going through. Betty Kyle. Betty's with us today, and she's had some real problems. She has just chronic bronchitis and lung problems. And we're so glad that she's with us. But you know, there are people like this that God has blessed, and yet they've been going through some real difficult times. Red Gore, of course. Just such an encouragement, Red, you are to all of us. Robert and Dorcas Rea have health issues, and that prevents them oftentimes from being able to be here at services, but God has blessed them. Nancy Robertson, a new member, has had severe health issues, and God has blessed her. Agnes Sullivan, of course, she has had various difficulties through 2010. And all these are folks whom God has blessed, and we want to be sure and express to God how grateful we are. To not allow anything else to obscure from our vision the good blessings that God has given to us in regard to such things as health and so many other things. We have several of our members who are in military service, and some have been overseas, and God has protected them. And what a great blessing. And, you know, I think of Nathan Israel. And of course, it's so good to have him back here briefly. And he's, I think, got another 3 months back in Afghanistan. Amanda Stinson, so good to have her back with us, safe and sound. Mike Stinson is, of course, overseas now. But God has protected him, and we're so thankful for that. Josh Chapman is pretty soon going to be going overseas to Iraq. I understand he has some training in Texas first, I believe it is, but then we'll be going over to Iraq. And, of course, he's got a new baby he's going to have to leave behind. And so just a lot of issues like that, but we certainly pray God's blessing upon him. But God has blessed our military people, and we're thankful for that. I want to make a note about our deacons. What a tremendous blessing these men are. And as the term deacon indicates, they are servants. And it's not some term of privilege and hierarchy. It's just a term in the original language. It just refers to servants. But it designates what they're to be doing. And these men that we have as our deacons, they truly live up to that terminology. They serve. And they are such a blessing. I know I speak for all the elders in this regard. They're such a blessing to us in just the things that they do. There's never a time where whenever we approach these deacons about anything, that we get any sense of hesitancy or balking or not wanting to help out. In fact, just the opposite. They're always there to just try to go above and beyond what we're asking for help with. And, of course, one of those in 2010 stepped down from being a deacon after many years, Tommy Cannon. And he made that announcement, and yet I think forgot that he made that announcement because he just keeps serving. He just, you know. And I say that to commend him, because that servant mentality that Tommy Cannon illustrates is what the Bible's talking about all of us having. Whether we're a formal servant of the congregation or not, all of us need to have that kind of servant attitude. And so I just appreciate so much that even though Tommy is no longer a deacon, you wouldn't really know it because he keeps serving in the same way. And so that just, you know, we I'm not saying that, Tommy, to make you feel bad if you have to cut back, you know. But we understand that. But I just appreciate Tommy so very much, and I know that we all do. And we appreciate all of these deacons for their service. And class teachers, in 2010, and we've seen this every year, but again, in 2010, so many people spending so many hours teaching children. Oftentimes, it's not because it's their own children, but they just want to help and they just want to teach, whether it's in Bible Lab or whether it's the other classes, and it has absolutely just been tremendous. And of course, again, and we joke about it, but it absolutely is commendable that we had so many men this last quarter willing to step out of their comfort zone. And let's face it, none of us like to step out of our comfort zone too much, and we men probably, we don't like to step out of our comfort zone. But these men did, and just couldn't have had the ladies' class without them doing what they did. And so we've just had so many class teachers like that have just done so many good, wonderful things. I also want to make mention of the blessing we have with our teenage group, and I specifically am talking about our current group of young teens. You know, I said earlier that we really felt like that maybe with just the teenage group a few years older, like the teenage group, you know, 2 or 3 years ago, that group of teens, that maybe we kind of didn't focus upon them sufficiently. And we kind of had a group of teens that were really not a cohesive teenage group. This group of teens coming up, And I'm looking at them right here, and yeah, I'm talking to y'all, and really commend all of them. Every now and then, we even kind of get the boys and girls to sit together, which is, you know, an amazing accomplishment. But what's so good about that? And I'm very serious about this. A congregation where you've got teenagers who view themselves as a group. If you can have that kind of attitude, that is such a help in getting through your teenage years. And it's a struggle enough in our current world to be a teenager and to live as a Christian in our current world with all of the worldliness around you and all the peer pressure and the negativity and all that. It's tough enough. So when you have a cohesive group of teens as part of your church group, it sure makes it easier. And we haven't had that the way that we really should have. And so what we've got is now a group of young teens, and we've tried to focus attention on this, and parents have tried to focus attention upon this. Their Bible class teachers have been emphasizing this. But they are creating a group. And I want to encourage them, and I want to encourage you, teens, to even do more with that. And more activities and more group activities and things that can help bring them together, because that absolutely is what is needed, especially in our day and time. But I want to commend them for what they have done. And what especially makes that so commendable is that they haven't really had a real good model from the teenage group preceding them. And so they've begun to do this and to address that. And I just commend them. I commend the parents and teachers and all of those who are involved in all of that. And I want to commend the married couples that have really tried to address some things in 2010. As elders, we made no bones about the fact, coming out of 2009 and going into 2010, we made no bones about the fact that we were worried because we had so many married couples with severe marital problems. And we've tried to address those issues in as we've said, public special classes and private studies. And there are some of these married couples who absolutely have tried and are trying to address those problems and to be the kind of Christian wife and Christian husband that God wants us to be. And I so commend them. And I'm not suggesting that there are not still problems. In fact, there are some severe problems still. And things not being taken care of the way they should. But there are so many that really have been trying to do what is right and to improve their marriages and to be better examples in all of that regard. And so that is a tremendous blessing. And it's a great example to everybody else. And so I want to commend everyone for that. Well, as we reflect upon the past year, I also want to talk about our struggles. We've said quite candidly from this pulpit many a time this past year that this has been a tough time. The past year, two, three, it's been tough in a lot of ways. We've had a lot of things we've had to deal with as a congregation. First of all, we've had deaths in the congregation that, of course, always you have that from year to year, but it's always difficult. Of course, we lost Dorothy Gore. We lost Ray Hamilton. We lost Frank Wood. And even as I say those names, you know, there's just kind of a lump in my throat, and I'm sure yours too. But those are some things that we've had to deal with, and of course, they're surviving spouses and are still dealing with that, and will be, of course, dealing with all of that. Economics has really hit us hard here in the state of Florida, and everybody knows that. And it has hit our congregation very, very hard the last few years. And a lot of you have really been struggling. A lot of you have been struggling with loss of jobs, difficulty finding new jobs, just to make ends meet, trying to work maybe two jobs that you can find. Some of you, for a period of time, even trying to work three jobs, just to try to put food on the table and pay the bills. This has been a tough time for a lot of you, and that has been a real struggle. And that's the kind of thing that, you know, it obviously isn't over as we go into 2011. And, you know, maybe the economic indicators are looking in the eyes of many a little more positive. I hope that's the case. The Lord knows. But still, the economic struggles certainly are not over with. And I just want to say about that how much, first of all, I commend all of those who have been going through that and have not allowed that to hinder their faith in God. Because some people allow it to hinder their faith in God. And it shows how shallow their faith is. You know, when their life's going well, and thank you, God, that's just great. And so, you know, praise God, and I'm a Christian. But then when their life starts going sour, well, then, yeah, well, you know, who needs God anyway? And then we question our faith and all that, you know. And we try to convince ourselves that, okay, none of those negative things in my life really are prompting my lack of faith, and we deceive ourselves with a lot of those kind of things. But so many of you have still been strong in regard to all of that. I do want to say this. As you deal with the economic issues of life, and as you deal with work, and with maybe having to work extra, and work overtime, or maybe work that extra job, absolutely, that sometimes is what's called for. But let me just give you just a warning. Make sure that missing services because of that second job or because of having to work overtime, make sure that missing services because of that doesn't start to cease being a negative thing in your mind. Don't allow that to ever just become, well, a neutral thing and it's not that big of a deal. It is a big deal. It is a big deal. When we miss services, it doesn't matter what the reason is. We're missing something. And we're not able to edify others. And they're not able to edify us. Now, the reason why we're missing may be absolutely beyond our control. I'm not wanting to make anybody feel bad about that. But don't ever allow that to just be okay. Because as soon as that's your attitude, what's going to happen? You'll start realizing it's easy to miss services really when you don't have to miss services. It becomes easier and easier to not come back Sunday night or Wednesday night or to miss that Sunday morning. And it just becomes easier and easier and easier, and you have a, quote, good reason, unquote. So, again, just think about that, and that's just an admonishment, in no way trying to make that some kind of a criticism. But think about that. Again, as we think about the struggles of 2010, again, as we've said, a lot of marital issues. And that kind of goes in line within this final struggle that I want to just mention here. Just the sinfulness that this congregation, sometimes just rank sin, that we've had to deal with. I said a few weeks ago that Satan has been working overtime on the Valrico Church of Christ. In 2010, absolutely. But I'll tell you what. If he's been working overtime on us, it's because he knows he doesn't have us. You know, he's already got the world. So if he's spending that much time on us, because he knows there's something, and there's a lot of people here that he's trying to get. And try to be able to say to God that, no, they don't really care about you, God. And so we've had to deal with a lot of marital issues, and we've had a lot of marriages where spouses, we lost them to the world, to just rank sin. We've had breakups in marriages and just rank sinfulness and worldliness. And some of that is still going on. And it's something that we're still going to have to be addressing, and we will. But this is kind of the struggle that we have. And so as we reflect upon all these things about the past year, real quickly, let me just say this. 2011, it's a new year. Let me suggest some goals. Let me suggest some goals to us as a congregation. May I suggest that all of us, and I mean me, because everything I'm saying here relates to me too, all of us focus in 2011 and make it our goal to focus on others, not just ourselves. And let me tell you why I say that. And I want everyone to listen to me on this, please. It's human nature. Whenever things are rough in a person's life, whether it's economics, whether it's marital difficulties, whether it's health issues, whatever it is, whenever there are problems that you're having to go through, it almost inevitably makes you focus inward because you're dealing with all these problems. And we become very inward and very focused on ourselves. And sometimes what happens is we just become a self ish person. And there are all these other people out there who need our attention and need our help. Don't allow that to be the case for you in 2011. If you've had tragedy in your life in 2010, okay. But I'd urge you just to examine yourself and ask yourself, have I allowed some of those difficulties to just make me more introverted and be more self-centered? How about now in 2011, let's be more outward focused on other people. And I would suggest that we seek and make it as one of our goals to grow closer to one another. And in tonight's congregational meeting, as elders, we're going to be addressing some things here of a more particular nature. But let's seek in 2011 to grow closer to one another. Because here's what happens. When we have problems in our personal life, again, we become very inward. And then we lose the cohesiveness as a group. And we tend not to view ourselves as a group the way that we should. And we lose so much of that. Let's not allow that to happen to us. And in 2011, let's seek to grow closer to one another. Let's be more evangelistic. I said at the beginning of this lesson that we have for 2010... wanted to devote ourselves to a greater focus on evangelism. In fact, part of Ed Brown's special work, a special focus, especially was designed for all that. And kind of use Paul's language, Satan thwarted us a little bit by inflicting Ed for these months. But praise be to God, he's back with us. And we're going to put him to work. But Ed Brown isn't the answer to all of this. And in 2010, we really wanted to focus more on evangelism. And as I said, as I counted, we had 5 baptisms. And I don't want to minimize that. But that figure to me is too low. Not for a group this size. And not for a group trying to focus attention on that. But I think I know the reason. It's because we've had so many problems and so many struggles. We've had sin in our own group we've had to deal with. There's no way that a congregation can be evangelistic the way it needs to be when it's having to focus upon itself and its own internal problems. And so, what I want to urge us to do is for 2011 to again be more focused upon others. And let's grow closer together as a group, and let's be more evangelistic. And we need to talk about some specific ways, and we will be talking more about some specific ways that we can accomplish all of that. You don't just say a goal and then never talk about how you can achieve it. But it all starts with this kind of concept of what are your goals? What do you need to be doing? And so I would urge all of us to think about this new year, and as a congregation of the Lord's people, let's have this kind of a mindset. And let's pray about all of this. And with that in mind, would you bow for me now? Bow with me for a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we praise you this day, and are thankful for the opportunity we've had to come together as your people. And to talk about some of these things that particularly relate to our congregation. Father, we know that tonight in our congregational meeting, we'll be talking more about these things and with more specificity. We pray, Lord, that you would help us as a congregation to be more focused upon other people. Help us this year to not be as self-centered, but to look to the needs of other people. Help us to grow closer as a congregation. Help the word Valrico family to not just be a phrase we use, but help it to truly mean something. And Father, help us to be more evangelistic and to look for those lost souls and to do the things that we can do to help win those souls to you for your sake and for their souls' sake. Thank you, Father, for this congregation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If there is someone this morning who needs to respond to the gospel, we'd love to help you do that. Won't you come together? We stand and sing.
Zion's call sweetly rings over land and